Compass FM. Hey, it's good to catch up with you, Dan. Haven't chatted to you for about a week or so. And one of the questions that I've got, it sort of came up. We don't normally talk about national politics here because I don't think that's our role. Yeah. It's not our role. But there is one thing that did pop up that I think that we need to have a bit of a chat about, and that is the ACT Party making an announcement yesterday that they're going to go for no building consents. Let the builders monitor themselves. How would the Waimakariri Council handle that if that actually comes to pass? And do you think that if it does come to pass, you'll take them to court to stop it like you have done?
Look, if it's national legislation, then of course we would want the opportunity to put forward our view. But if it becomes law, then of course we've then got to abide by that. But I would think it would be a step backwards, in the sense that the reason the Building Act's there is to protect people and to ensure that, and look, we have fantastic builders out there, and I don't want that to be thought otherwise, but I'm often brought into situations where, you know, there's been situations where things have had corners cut and ultimately left people in an unfortunate situation. The Building Act does protect people because it goes through the checks and balances that you'd expect. And our council's one that does take particular pride in our building consent work. Our staff do an excellent job there, but we work in with builders and across the sector. In fact, we've got a meeting coming up shortly where we go and we hear from the contractors what's working, what isn't working, and take on board that feedback. But ultimately, it's a regulatory responsibility. I think it would be a backward step if something like that is considered. But look, without knowing all the detail behind it, I want to study it a little more.
That would be It would be a massive change in focus for local councils if that that went through. Very similar to Three Waters.
To a degree, but it's not removing the function from council altogether. It's just saying that, and as I understood it, certain circumstances, building consents may not be required. So let's understand what they're talking about in that space, and then we'll take a considered response.
So it's all in the detail, eh?
Absolutely, and that's what's important. And I say this, that one size doesn't fit all. There may be some circumstances that builders at a national level have got recognition that their building, could be a particular way in which it's constructed, and if it meets that, then it's a very simple process. But not everything's that simple. I was dealing with a case last week where, it's buildings going onto TC3 land. The level of complexity and what's required in foundation so people are safe is completely different than what you'd experience in Nelson. So it's why I say one size doesn't fit all, and ultimately what we're there to do is to make sure people are safe and protected.
Okay, thanks for answering that. We are looking at more local events now. We have a wonderful foreign emergency group of volunteers all over North Canterbury, but let's have a look at Waimakariri in particular. You've got a couple of events coming up.
Yeah, Saturday, and they're my favourite sort of events to go to, where we go and we thank volunteers for the service that they've been giving, and particularly this week it's Waikuku and Rangiora, both on Saturday, but a couple of weeks ago it was Kaiapoi. So I really enjoy, and look, in a few weeks' time, CUST Volunteer Fire Brigade celebrates 75 years in existence. Rangiora next year celebrates 150 years, and a couple of years ago Kaiapoi celebrated 150 years. That's huge. If we didn't have our fire brigades, we wouldn't be in the safe position we are today. I just want to say that I do shout out to volunteers there, because the level of complexity, that they didn't sign up to be first responders. That responsibility has shifted over in recent years, and oftentimes they are now. And that's the pretty difficult case, dealing with what they call purple cases. Yeah. And I really do take my hats off to them, because it's more complex than just turning out to a fire. But they're training and what they do, and it's voluntary.
All
doing
voluntary.
It in service for our community. We're incredibly lucky that, to be frank, they're my heroes here, because it doesn't matter what event, they're there in support, including flooding events, where alongside our police and other emergency services are there to help evacuate and support people if needed. So they do so many great things, and I know all the getting to know the brigades particularly well. well. Now I've been in this role for just coming up 4 years. Gosh, it's hard to believe it. A year's gone by since the election in October, but it's one thing I really value and prioritise going to say thank you on behalf of our community.
And it's not, and I totally agree and endorse what you're saying in regards to the volunteers, but you have to also acknowledge the fact that the employers, businesses around North Canterbury in particular, Waimakere that we're talking about, agree and allow the volunteers to go at the drop of a hat, just
they
like
do.
That.
They do.
I look like Jack Tame then, don't I?
You do. Well, I love your style there, Kerry. Yeah, they do, and the employers, it's an amazing thing that they do in allowing it. Our council does too. We have a number of our staff who are involved in volunteer brigades, and it's an important function that they are freed up so they can go. We're probably getting to the size here at some stage whether professional brigades would be considered, because the number of events and complexities of those, it's probably time that that's considered, especially Rangiora and Kaiapoi, but that's for Fens to work through at some particular point. When people are regularly attending things and being freed up, there's a consequence to that. So where there's that ability to transition at some point would be something we will watch with interest, and of course if our local brigades support it, we would get right in behind them.
Future for Local Government, that's still going on, meetings behind not so much behind the scenes or behind doors, but it is still going on. And you've got another meeting coming. Have you been to one, or are you just about to go to?
We're going at the weekend, a Sunday, to Wellington. There's a Sunday and Monday set aside for a discussion. It's to try and find if there is consensus within local government on in on the things that we can unite on. There's 17 recommendations. It's to try and see whether there are some things that as a sector we would agree on, and then it gives the ability for LGNZ to on our behalf negotiate that with the future government. The present government and also the opposition parties have made it clear that they will not embark upon change unless it's what the sector would like, and so it's important that we have that discussion and work on that. I'm about to survey our elected members here to see where their priorities are sitting, which gives me a bit of a steer when I go there with the Deputy Mayor to present or have that opportunity to influence that discussion when it comes up. But it's really important that we have that discussion, and you know, the report provides a lot of opportunities, and we've got to be open-minded to that. There's some things that we just will not agree on.
Yeah.
But the things that we do, I'd say the top, let's unite around those top five or wherever they land, then go in discussion with the government. You know, things of funding are long-standing issues. For me, it's not about representation. I want to keep that out of the discussion because that's where people get nervous. I don't want to be involved in representation changes necessarily, because I like the size and scale of our council now, and that's the similar view I'm picking up for other councils. But there's opportunities for shared services and other things where we can work together more effectively, and we are already in a lot of instances, but it might be just formalising that. It's clear for the National Party's sake, for instance, that they put a lot of precedence, will do on what they call place-based deals. So that will be looking at infrastructure and communities and other partnerships where we may achieve a greater funding. And Labor have that similarly with work that we've had and through the Greater Christchurch Partnership and the work we've been doing there. We've been presenting a case around mass rapid transit, which is about transport. And if we're to make that succeed, we need significant investment from government to support it. So both sides have got quite similar types of views.
Yep.
It's just about tailoring your message for a particular government so you can get the best for your community.
You just reminded me of something that I was going to talk to you about, and that is the road user charges that has been promoted by a political party as well. That would surely, if everyone's going to be paying road user charges, including petrol-driven cars and that sort of thing, electric, get it with diesel as well, surely that will encourage people out of their cars and onto mass public transport. And are we set up for that here in Waimakere?
Yes, we are. We've had a park and ride and that established for some time, well outside of government priorities in that space. Personally, on the question of road user charges, I have an electric car myself. I definitely support looking at road user charges or a degree of payment, because I don't think I'm fairly paying at the moment. Yes, I've got the electric side of my car, but the weight and it certainly has an impact on the roads and deterioration. So whether it's part of a road user charge or it's built into registration of the car, I'm relaxed, but I'm certainly up for the conversation and don't support it, and I'm not opposed to a change, because it's about being fair across the board. We've probably gone to a bit far in the sense of encouraging people to get in and into electric cars, and there's consequences like the ute tax and other things which are actually quite unfair in my personal opinion, and I'd like to see that evened up. So I'm up for that conversation, because I think that's something that's important to make sure everyone's paying their fair share.
Compass FM.